You're listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and proof that bartenders always have to live in either squalor or absolute decadence, and there is no in-between. I am your host, and I am known to send my friends in first in case someone recognizes me. I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is happy to turn into a dog if it gets him down the sidewalk just a little quicker. He is Steve the Geek Shinny.
Sidewalks are hard. But not for dogs.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a time when I've like been walking and there's like, if there's a stray dog, you know, you kind of maybe go around it even more because it's just by itself and there's nobody with it, and that's kind of concerning. But I can't think of that moment. If that happened in our neighborhood, it's always like, oh, I know that dog. That is such and such's dog. They're probably looking for it. If there's a stray dog, it's like, oh, don't go near that thing. It's probably, it's got the mange or something.
I love how you assume any dog not standing immediately next to a person has, quote, the mange.
I better safe than sorry. I haven't seen any around here, but there are coyotes here. So, you know, occasionally you'll hear one in the distance, or you might even see one. I remember one morning I was dropping off my daughter for school, and these guys were doing a bunch of leaf blowing and yard work and whatever in this little, like, fenced off retaining pond area that they have at the school. And out of nowhere, just this coyote went darting out of there. It was like, oh, man, you messed up my home. A-holes. Like, I'd laughed because I heard that in my head as it darted across the road into another wooded area. It's like, you a-holes ruined my house!
I mean, that's what I do when someone comes into my house with a leaf blower and pushes it into a pond.
I mean, I would. I don't even know if I would run away. He was probably terrified because there's probably a bunch of them and it was very loud. I'm going to say he probably would attack, but no, he's probably just scared and ran.
So, just walk around your neighborhood with a leaf blower, and then you're safe from dogs and coyotes.
I mean, I feel perfectly safe. I also feel safe that I don't think any of them are people that turned into dogs. So that's, you know, getting us back on track to our comic, which is what we're here to talk about. And the comic we're talking about is River City. And River City is brought to us by Colin Patrick Moore. And it's a noir-ish superhero take, but I'm gonna let you get into it because it was your pick, but it's kind of hard to categorize, but it's also not any of those things necessarily.
So I'm supposed to take us down to the River City, where the grass is green and the police situation is pretty bad.
Wow, you had that planned.
I don't plan this stuff.
But rather than take notes on this comic, which I swear to God you have like two sentences, you prepared that stupid parody of Paradise City. And to that I say, up yours and well done, sir. Now tell us about this comic.
All right. So, like you mentioned, this is kind of a noir superhero take on the superhero genre, I should say, which is what originally hooked me in. I really like anything where we just kind of get a examination of a world where some people have powers. That's interesting to me. In this world, it's pretty common to have powers, according to the lore, even though I think we've only really seen one person have powers, and that's Dane's ability to turn into anything. I guess he can just shapeshift, but we've only seen him turn into a dog, which, I mean, is cool. That's probably what I would spend most of my time as too, but I don't know. I don't agree with a lot of Dane's life choices, and one of them is not turning into more stuff. But yeah, so it's the crux of the story is actually not Dane. Dane is I don't know if I'd say best friend. They seem to barely tolerate him, but the main character is Crawford, and Crawford is the son of a powerful businessman who is trying to politician who's trying to crack down on people with superpowers. In this world, superpowers are so common that there's like a registration sort of thing where, you know, I can start a fire with my hands. I am now registered with the government until I'm 25, I think it said. Something in the lore about it's very age-specific, and then they stop caring about you. Much like webcomics. Once you hit mid-20s, you're done. Aww. And
yeah, and superpowered beings are also known as phenoms.
Phenoms, yep.
That kept screwing me up because just made me think, ooh, WrestleMania season's coming up. What's the Undertaker gonna do this year? No, not that phenom.
There's just a bunch of Undertakers walking around. See, I thought they sounded like a high school choir a cappella group.
The phenom? No, it has to have some terrible singing
part. Yeah, they're the phenomenons or whatever.
Phenomatones?
Yeah, something. I don't know.
That's not a pun.
I spent all my time on the Paradise City thing.
You did, yeah. You spent your time on one thing. Let's go back to that. We'll run that again later.
So basically, Crawford has some stuff in his past. He has a brother that he's trying to keep out of trouble as their father tries to capture, I guess, just the younger brother. I don't know that he cares about Crawford. There's a lot of stuff that is left unexplained. So we have this really cool world that's very gritty, very dark, very interesting. And yet I don't feel like I really understand a lot of it. A lot of it is alluded to, and it's like Colin was so afraid of doing a lore dump that he went the other direction and has kept a lot of lore still sucked up in.
The opposite of dump.
Yes.
Because dump has to be poop.
It is poop.
I mean, I imagine when somebody says a lore dump, they do not actually mean they pooped out the lore.
Well,
like they mean they just put it all out there at once. I think that's what that means.
That's where you and I differ in how we choose to interpret lore dump.
Yes. Everything about you is poop. And occasionally I think, you know what? There could be other nuance to that. It doesn't have to be poop.
But it could be.
It could be. And in this case, it might be. It's it is a lot of obfuscated, ooh, do you think you know this? Oh, maybe you do, maybe you don't in this comic. But like you say, that is, I think, by design. It's going to dole that out slowly. I am fairly convinced at this point, because they do mention that phenoms can suppress and like deny their power, basically. So I think that's what we're getting from Crawford, the way he acts and everything, especially towards phenoms. I think he is one himself, and he's denying it, like denying himself. And I think that will come out later on in the story, which we should also mention is not sure how the story is going to continue, because it has wrapped as of December, and Colin mentioned the comic's going to continue, but I don't know in what form. It might not be a comic anymore, so stay tuned, and has not updated since. So I'm assuming we'll get more of this story, and I don't know where it will be or how it will come, but I certainly hope so, because, yeah, there's enough mystery set up that I want to hear them resolved. And you mentioned in your notes that all these people are just, they're extra. Like, they are just, there's no chill vibe in this comic. Like, you get Crawford sometimes being, like, brooding, like, to a Batman level. But if he's not that, he's just blowing his stack at somebody. And Dane is just Mr. Drama King. Like, he just, yeah, bad news follows him wherever he goes. And he's terrible and unreliable and lazy. And Jackie, their friend, is the only capable one, basically. And she's more level-headed, but she's also constantly blowing her top because of her friends, who are just the biggest screw-ups in one way or another. So that's kind of our trio that we follow. And I like them, but I also, like as you said, I would never want to like be around these people ever. They would be the most unbearable people.
Well, it's more
possibly singly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I could maybe see myself like hanging out with Jackie. Like, she seems like she'd be pretty cool and chill by herself. But you know, she also may be damaged enough that she would just constantly talk about Crawford and Ordane, and I'd just be like, "Oh, you've got to stop. Let's just play a video game. Come on."
Yeah. So I said that just because, like, the main crux of the story that we're given is, at least not the intro that we get is Dane trying to set up pizza night with his buds for a movie. And everyone is so against him. And they finally both break down, both Jackie and Crawford break down the point like, okay, if it's okay with the other one, meaning Jackie or Crawford, we can do it. And he gets both of them to say that. So in Dane's mind, hey, movie night is on. And so they get together and Dane's not there yet. And they just lose it at each other. Like, I can't believe he's shitting this up. Ah! And then he ends up being an hour or a half hour late because he has to work late. Cleaning the robot sex snakes, which if you're a shapeshifter and he's complaining like, I've had to touch all these snakes, like just change into something with different hands and clean them faster. Turn into an octopus and scrub all those snakes down and go hang out with your buds. You're overthinking this, Coyote.
To that point, that is a silly thing. And I will say that I do think it did say something about his employer said no phenoms at work. Like they're against him. Oh. So I think he can't turn into... So he can't show his powers at work. I think they know he is one, but it's like you cannot use your powers at work. So I think they do actually mention that. But yeah, I forgot about all the disgusting things that he sees and has to clean up at the strip. Is it a strip club or is it at worse? I mean, it's like noir future we're dealing with.
Yeah,
so like you said, there's robotic snakes that people put places apparently, and he has to clean them up.
Yeah, it's a generic sci-fi future bar where people's of all shapes and sizes get in floaty bubbles and dance with robot sex snakes.
As you do. So, yeah, on top of Dane being a loser and just none of his friends like him enough to really hang out unless, like, okay, we agree we're all going to hang out. Okay, that's fine. His job sucks. So Dane has nothing going for him other than the fact that he's friends with these two pretty, you know, Crawford is big and strong. And like I said, I think super powered. So he's got the good friend in him, and Jackie has a level head on her shoulders. So I think he's better because of his friends. And if he didn't have those friends, I think he would be, you know, in the gutter somewhere as a dog, as a human, as an eagle, whatever he wants to be. I don't know why I always go, when I shapeshift, I always go from whatever that person is constantly, which is, you know, like one form, like they're a bear. But then I'm like, you know what else they should be? An eagle. And that's the first one I go to, and I don't know why that is.
One day.
I guess I want a flying creature, and I'm like, well, dragon's too big. You're going to draw too much attention to yourself. Okay, let's be smaller. Eagles are pretty cool. Let's be an eagle.
That they are pretty cool. I think eagle's a good choice.
I think it is too. I just don't know why I constantly go to that one. I should change it up. Find another flying being.
Bats.
No, bats are creepy and dirty.
You don't have to like hang out with this fictional shapeshifter. They can just be whatever. And bats are super useful because they can fly in the dark.
That's true. But if I was like hanging out as a bat at home and forgot about it, and my wife came home, she would beat me to death with a shovel.
You haven't told your wife that you're a shapeshifter yet? You should really, you know. I mean, she's an important part of your life, and so is your shapeshifting ability. You need to bring these worlds together.
Truthfully, I've been repressing it for many years now, so it's time to let that side out.
Yeah. Just, once again, turn into something useful around the house. Turn into a Roomba and, like, actually, like, clean up a little bit. And then, you know, maybe your wife will be cool with it.
Of all things to shapeshift into a form of Roomba. Oh, damn it. I need a better imagination. I'm a dog. No. Eagle. No. Roomba. Man, I've got to know more things. What else could I be that could be helpful? It's really a quick read. Like we have the setup. We meet the characters kind of individually, but mostly together. And then they get together and have their pizza night. And that's when Crawford says, okay, we're going under the police station. I need to break my brother out of jail. Well, not break him out, but I need to get him. Cause stuff's about to go down. So that's kind of, I mean, in very slim down form, that's kind of where we're at. And I want to see the story continue. My hook for this comic is the visual style. It's really, really detailed. And I think I'm waiting for more action to happen. Cause I feel like the action will be really well done. There's not a whole lot. It's kind of just, again, people blow up, but they blow up emotionally. Nobody really has fought that much in this comic so far, which is funny because everybody's, you know, got superpowers constantly.
Not everyone with superpowers fights. Some people just turn into Roombas.
That Present company excluded. And the mystery. I really want to know more about what's going on with Crawford and his brother, Donovan, and the dad. I feel like there's more connection there. And maybe even the dad. If we're going full X-Men, then, you know, the dad actually has powers himself. And that's why he's against powered beings. Because, you know, you hate yourself more than you hate anybody else. That kind of thing.
Of course.
So that wouldn't surprise me terribly. So, and I want to talk about the fan following. Would I follow this creator? I definitely would, because noir-ish takes are a very, very specific genre. And so I'd want to see what else Colin might do with a totally different story. So I really like what I've read here. And I think Spider-Forest, where this is found, has another hit on its hands. And I hope Colin is able to get back to the story sooner than later so we can continue reading, because I want to know more about these terrible, terrible people.
They're not terrible. I see the good in all of them, but yes. Yeah, for me, the hook is the take on the superhero phenoms. I think that's interesting. I want to see more of this world. For the same reason, like, cyberpunk noir superhero comic is cool, and I like things that are cool, and this has a cool hook for it. Would I check out other things by Colin if I found him? Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what else he could create. He's done such a great job of drawing a very scowly face. I'd like to see him do something where everyone's very happy, and just to see him take it on a different face shape.
Yeah, I did. I feel like as the comic went on, Crawford's nose got bigger.
It may have.
But there were some panels where I was like, oh, that is like cartoonishly large now.
Yeah, well, you know.
Not necessarily a negative, just something to point out.
Your nose does keep growing throughout your life. Maybe that's to show the passage of time.
I guess. I thought the ears got bigger than the nose, but that's just, that's...
They both do, because they're both made of cartilage.
There you go. You learned something today, folks. You also learned that River City, the comic, is very good. You definitely need to check that out on Spider-Forest. You can find it at rivercitycomic.com. So check it out.
Agreed.
And that will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
And I personally am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. That email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And also, if you like this show, I have great news. We have another podcast. It's a show featuring two guys who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. That show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that show along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If those platforms allow reviews, please drop us a 5-star review. We really appreciate those for either show, but especially Digital Strips, because that's what I'm talking about. On the other one, I'll leave it to Steve to talk about Then You Ruined It, because that's his thing.
Please review that one, too.
Well, yes, that's what I'm saying. 5-star reviews. Tell us what you like and what you don't like, please. Even my family, reach out. I know at least one of you listens to that show or this show. Leave a review. Cowards, I love you. Until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I am Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel, where the snakes are slimy as ever. I don't know what I use to clean them.
Paper towels.
In the future, paper towels, really.
Yeah,
you think that's all they have? They still have Brawny in the future.
Yeah, we're not going to get more advanced paper towel technology. We've kind of mastered that.
Give me like a future bleach that works better. Like it cleans...
Can't bleach a sex snake? That's going to take all the color out of it.
I mean, if you're using a sex snake, I guess color probably does figure into it somewhere, but ew. Ew, my fault. I'm sorry. That ended this episode on sex snakes. You're welcome, everybody.
Bye! Break away, forget your sobriquet.